We're doing the Avat Chesed. We're up to page Shin Chaf Aleph in the Zeligman edition. And the Chafetz Chaim was explaining Ashrei Maskil Eldal, praised is he who invests thought as to how to help the poor. And he described there are three areas where a person can be, his poverty in monetary assets can be affected. It can be with regards to his home. It can be with regards to his food. It can be with regards to his clothing. And now the Chafetz Chaim continues, V'nei kol dvarinu nove'im imamar ha'gmara sukkah. Everything we've been discussing stems from what the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sukkah. En tzedakah mishtalemet ela lefi chesed sheba. Tzedakah is only paid in accordance with the kindness that is within it. Shne'emar ziru lechem litzedakah v'kitzru lefi chesed. As the verse says, plant charity and harvest kindness. What does that mean? Rashi explains, "Lefig milut chasadim sheba hanetina yatzdaka v'torach u'chesed." Just giving is charity, but investing, toiling, that is kindness. Shenotin da'atov libo letovato shel ani. He invests his thought. He invests his care to ensure that the pauper, the impoverished, benefit. The money shouldn't be lost. There's an easy way to give charity. You just give your donation to the organization and say, goodbye, I did mine. No. A person tries to figure out, how do I ensure that my charity has the greatest impact? As we discussed, one example would be, give him the money when he can use it wisely, when he can buy food cheaply. He goes to the guy's house to give him the money. Sometimes you give the guy money, he doesn't know what to do with it, so you give him baked bread. Sometimes you give him money, he'll waste it before he can use it, so give him clothing, so he'll be properly clothed. He'll have a better self-image. He'll get a better job. He'll be a better husband. So Rashi says, charity is measured according to its kindness, meaning the charity is just the giving, the kindness is the thought that's invested in the giving. And I want to just give you an example of this. Your neighbor has a baby. So there are two ways to help. You can call up and say, I'll be happy to pick up the kids at 2 o'clock. Shabbos afternoon, at 5 o'clock, they can come to my house. You figure, I finish my meal, I take my nap, I'm finished with my nap, I could have their kids over. That's one way of doing kindness. Okay, something. There's another way. You call up and you say, what time works for you? When would be most beneficial for you? Because chances are that they also want to take a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you would take the kids at 2 and take your nap at 4, they would benefit much more than if you take their kids at 4 or 5. Very often we offer kindness and we're not taking the other party into account. We figure, I'm offering them. That's not enough. If you want to really do kindness, kindness involves taking into account their needs, not only what I'm giving. Sometimes part of the kindness is in informing them. I can't forget, years ago I was going to surprise my parents to come in and surprise them for a Shabbos. And my mother-in-law gave me this great piece of advice. She said, do me a favor, tell them in advance. I said, Ma, why? What's the difference? Won't they be excited if I surprise them? My mother-in-law said, no, you're missing the point. If you tell them a month in advance, all month long they anticipate it. You're giving them so much more pleasure for a month. They're in anticipation. Our son's coming in a month, in 3 weeks, in 2 weeks, in 10 days, in 8 days, in 6 days, in 4 days. You're increasing their pleasure tenfold. She was so right. You know, I was thinking from my perspective, but from their perspective, they got much more out of it that way. So that's what Rashi says. When the Gemara says, kindness is paid back in accordance, charity is paid back in accordance with the kindness that's in it, that's what Rashi explains. The kindness is how much you invest to get it right for them. I know what works for me, but if I want to be kind, I want to do what works for them. Now, this too has to be taken in balance, because if you wipe yourself out, you haven't done anything for anyone. There is always a balance between my needs and their needs, but to a large extent, charity is about thinking about the other. Yes.
I understand your example when you were talking about how, you know, surprising your parents or, you know, somebody who you knew, you know, needs money to buy food. But, I mean, if you give money to somebody who needs money and they waste it, so then you need to work around their system and get them clothes and stuff. I mean, that just takes away all their credibility, and, you know, they could waste their clothes too.
That's true. It's true. But sometimes, if you want to help a person, that's what you have to do. Sometimes, the assistance a person needs...
Where you wouldn't trust him with cash, but you would trust him with giving him a loaf of bread or...
For sure. For sure.
Okay.
You'll meet people like that in life. You'll meet people who beg you for money, and then you're standing behind them in line, and you see they're buying these stupid things where they could buy a bottle, even if, let's say, they have to buy the bottle of Coke, they're buying the can for the same price as the bottle. You know, a bottle will cost you 3.5, 4.5 shekels. Sometimes you could pay 4.5 for a can. You're standing behind them and they're going to the soda machine and they're paying 4.5 shekel for a can. How could you do that? You're accepting charity, so you could argue don't buy soda if you're accepting charity. But that, I'm not even arguing that point, but at least buy something that makes sense. No, that's exactly why they're stuck in the rut they're in, because they don't know how to do that. I remember... There was a family that we were trying to help out. Parents were sick. The kids were about to be orphaned. And I saw how they wasted money. And I asked the woman who was heading the fund, I said, how could we give them money? They're wasting it. They're squandering it on stupidities. They're buying things at high cost. They could go to Rami Levy, buy it at cheap cost. They're buying it at low cost, at high cost. And she said to me, life is such a wreck by them. They can't see beyond tomorrow. If you can get a volunteer who will go and buy the stuff cheaply for them, great. They are not able to do that. That's part of their problem. Okay? Sometimes that's part of a person's problem. You're right. The ideal is to educate a person. Sometimes you're not going to win that way. You tell the person, if you'd be dressed better, you'd get better jobs. The guy works, a guy I know works as a technician. He fixes things. But he dresses like such a wreck that people don't want to let him in the door. He shows up and he's so filthy. He's got long nails. He doesn't clean under his nails. He'll shower once a week. You could smell him from a mile away. Who's going to want to let him into the house to fix an air conditioner or whatnot? It's uncomfortable to have him around. So sometimes you got to find a way to tell the guy. And that's the biggest help. Because then he has the skills, he can succeed. He has certain stumbling blocks. And we have this rule we've discussed previously. If we can do things in an intelligent way, where the guy won't know who's giving him, the story about Mar Ukva, who used to drop off food by people and they wouldn't know he was giving it, Ashrei Chelko, praised is his lot. Nonetheless, you have to be careful to give things in a modest way, not to embarrass the person. So there's an element of intelligence, an element of thought that has to be invested. You want to do charity, you got to do it intelligently. The more thought we invest, hopefully the better the outcome, and then the greater the kindness in the charity. So that's step one in Ashrei Maskil El Dal. Praised is he who gives thought as to how to help the poor. V'yesh b'inyanei haskala odotav ofna yoter gadol mikol. There's an aspect of thought which is greater than everything we've been discussing. V'u shemitmonen b'ez ofen leitivo l'akim oto b'ze midaluto. And that is when we think, how can I get him out of this impoverished state? It's one thing to give him money. It's quite another thing to tell him, how are you getting out of this state? Sometimes you give him a gift, sometimes you give him a loan, sometimes you get him a job, and with that, you're helping him get out of the cycle of poverty. And there are all kinds of opportunities like this where you could help a person, and this you're fulfilling the mitzvah. There's a special mitzvah. You see a person on the verge of financial collapse, help him, strengthen him, help him get out of it. Now this is common. It's very common that you can grab a person, help a person just before they collapse. Very often, the difference between a business collapsing and not collapsing is one loan. Now, sometimes you'll meet people whose businesses are going to collapse regardless. Very often, when people need loans, I ask them, how are we going to ensure that you won't need the same loan next month? Why is it that suddenly your income is not covering your costs? What's happened? And how's next month going to be different? That's an important question, because sometimes giving him the loan is not the real way of helping him. Sometimes the real way of helping him is to force him to think about that and to find the solution for that, to help him find the solution for that. Yes?
A lot of the time, when people give charity, or at least with me, you see people that kind of act in a disgusting way, and you're very reluctant to give to them. How is that a factor in this? With it's saying, you know, give and, you know, work on third terms and this and that, but what happens if you see the guy and you're like, this guy doesn't deserve anything?
Why doesn't he deserve anything?
I'll say he's, you know, has a temper, and you see him, you know, screaming at his family, or I don't know, like something, and you're just like, but he's the same guy who, you know, is out of a job, you know, is, you know, out of luck. Are you still obligated to give to a guy like that?
It's very hard, because the pressures that a person has when they're in a tough financial constraint, it's very hard to gauge a person. We don't know how we would behave if we didn't know how we would cover the bills and if we had creditors calling us. It's very hard. People behave differently, and there are different pressures. So I don't know if it's fair to gauge a person. And the fact that I don't like a person's traits and the way he's behaving to his wife or his kids, that doesn't mean that his wife and kids don't need food or that he doesn't need food. I'm not sure we can mix the two together. You tell me he's a cruel, abusive, who knows what. So you still have a question. What about the kids? They still need to eat. The wife still needs to eat. But if it's things that the guy is not pleasant and the guy has a temper, I'm not sure that it's fair to gauge a person on that. And even if we would say, no, I knew him when his assets were fine, he was always a miserable person, he still needs help. You know, what can I do? Bottom line, the guy needs help. He's a miserable human being. How if we could help him get out of that? But he still needs help. I don't think that would affect it in this realm. There is a realm we studied earlier in the book, and that is that you want to accomplish to help positive people move forward. And if all other things are equal, so then we would have a preference to help someone who's going to do more positive things with the money. But that's assuming everything, all else is equal. And again, it's very hard to understand a person who has to deal with the financial hardships, and it's very hard to get out of that rut. Once a person enters debt, it can be very hard to get out of. So what we learned today is that the praise for a person thinking about the poor involves thinking how best to help him, not just to give him charity, but also to invest thought as to what type of charity and what vein at what time would be most beneficial to the person. And the Chafetz Chaim had mentioned that another element of thought where we should invest our time and our energies is the area of helping a person not need charity, helping him get out of this cycle, the cycle of poverty. And that's even greater than all other types of charity, if we invest the thought and help him get out of it. And this can be very relevant in helping a person find a job. Someone I met was in debt, and his life was falling apart, and the police wanted to put him in jail for illegal activity they claimed he had done. And he there's a high likelihood that there's truth to their claims. And he has a wife and kids. So I asked him, what are we doing about finding you a legitimate job? And he said, I can't handle a legitimate job. So I said, why not? And he said, because I oversleep. I can never get out of bed before 11 o'clock in the morning. So he has a few more issues. He always gets into fights with his employers. He has other issues too. So speaking to him, I saw that anything you discuss with him, he's very good at convincing you of his position. He had a very good way of explaining why he was framed and he did nothing wrong and the police were all wrong. And I saw he's very, very good at presenting his case. So the first question I asked him was, is there a way to get him into law? Because if he's so good at twisting facts and getting things his way, so he might make an excellent lawyer. And when we realized that was impossible because he didn't have the time to get the training, so we worked on getting him into real estate, where he has to present the house and show all the positive sides of the house and help a buyer see why this house makes sense for them. I was honest with his employer. I said, yeah, I'm not sure if this guy is honest. I don't know him well. And I think you have to keep an eye on things. You don't want him convincing people to buy lemons. But I think he has a great skill for presenting things. And the advantage of real estate is that it works on your time. You don't have to be available at 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to show up to an office at 9 o'clock in the morning. You're a real estate agent. They have to meet you on your time. To some degree, you'll meet them on their time. But no one's holding it against you if you're not available till 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. So here we looked at his weakness that kept him losing his jobs. And we analyzed his strengths. And we looked for a job that would work with his weaknesses and strengths together, where his weaknesses wouldn't cause him to lose the job and his strengths would help him succeed in the job. Chafetz Chaim says that's what we have to try to do. When someone's got problems, it's not enough to give him money. And they asked me for loans. The family I'm telling you about now, I didn't give him a penny. I didn't give him a penny. I didn't give him a red cent. But I worked with them to look for a way that they could cover their costs. Because like I said to them, you're going to take a loan this month, you'll only have a bigger debt next month. If you don't have a system for getting out of debt, so then there's no point. You're not at a point where they're going to shut your electric. You're at a point where more loans will help you get into more debt. So, okay, why should I end up losing? It's not a loan, it's a gift. They're not going to be able to pay it back if they're not working their way out of it. It's a story in progress. So far it's working, Baruch Hashem. I wish him luck. It should continue working. It's challenging. I'm saying it's possible. If you're willing to work with a person, many times people have come to my door collecting and I've offered them a job. I've said, tell me your strengths. I'm not going to give you a penny, but you're young, you're fit. If you want to work, I'm happy to help you find the job. So very often they tell me, you can't compete. I can make 60 shekel an hour. Can you offer me a 60 shekel an hour job?
Can you make 60 shekels going door to door?
Yeah. He says, look, in this building, let's say I get 5 shekel. The building took me 5 minutes. So that brings me close to 60 shekel an hour. Some buildings I'll make 15 shekel.
Like mail delivery?
No, collecting. Knocking on doors. So very often I'll offer people a job and they're not interested. Okay? But there's something wrong with them. Meaning if they would rather get charity, then there's something wrong with them. A person should much rather earn a living respectably. The answer that they give, you can't compete with what I'm making here, that's an answer that's wrong. That's wrong. They have no right to be collecting charity just because they make more money that way.
Is it a mitzvah to give people that come asking for money all the time?
So we learned a whole chapter on who to give tzedakah to.
You see people in the Beit Midrash that